as we continue to break down the billions of dollars in spending and policies in the recently adopted state budget, we're turning our attention to the higher education portion of New York's $212 billion spending plan, and to understand what this means for the affordability and quality at the state's public colleges and universities, we spoke with Barbara Bowen, president of the Professional Staff Congress, which represents 30,000 faculty and staff at the City University of New York and its research foundation. Pivoting right to, I think, the big headline for a lot of advocates and students has to do with the TAP gap that's emerged during the Cuomo administration, essentially the difference between the maximum tuition assistance award and the actual cost of tuition at public colleges and universities. Does this budget make any headway in addressing that concern that has emerged during the past 10 years?
Yes, it does, and it's long overdue to make that headway. It doesn't get all the way to where we had hoped, but it does make important headway. So the origin, the underlying problem, is failure of adequate state investment. And as a sign of that, the tuition rate has gone up, and the tuition assistance program, TAP, did not keep up. So this budget, for the first time, makes a commitment, a firm statutory commitment to closing that gap within the next 4 years. And it also makes an increase in the maximum TAP award for this coming year, an increase of $500 to $5,665. By legislating and enacting a budget with that increase, the amount of the TAP gap at CUNY will start to be closed, and that's worth about $25 million to CUNY this year, 25 or 26.
And for context, the last time this maximum amount had been raised was 7 years ago with an increase of only $165, right?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And just to say one more thing about the TAP gap, as that difference opened up between the maximum TAP award and the actual cost of tuition, CUNY and SUNY were, by statute, required to eat that cost. So it was good that it wasn't passed on to the students at the public institutions, but that cost had to be absorbed by the institutions. And that was the structural deficit that grew up, and that's what we call the TAP gap. So that deficit is beginning to be closed.
Why is it important, though, that we invest in the tuition assistance program, since the governor's made such a big deal about the Excelsior Scholarship and that being the means of ensuring that students get, you know, free tuition in New York? You know, if that's the case, why is TAP still important?
TAP provides very critical tuition assistance to students across the state. It is in need of reform to reflect who the students are now. But I think the more important issue is that New York has done much better on tuition assistance to students and families than it has done on investment in the public university system. Both SUNY and CUNY have suffered from years of disinvestment, and that has a devastating effect on students' ability to get the education they come to CUNY for. So the pattern that we have seen CUNY really has not recovered in state funding since at least the 2008 recession. Most other state-funded entities had recovered by the time of the COVID pandemic. CUNY had not. So the state investment has lagged behind in per-student investment since 2008 to 2018-19. It was almost a 20% decrease in state investment per student. So that means that students are getting 20% less in terms of resources devoted to their education. Excelsior is not where the state should be concentrating its money. Fewer than 2% of CUNY students are on the Excelsior Scholarship. And I believe the number at SUNY is something like 7 or 8%. Excelsior is not free college. It was marketed by the governor as free college. It is not free college. Free college is what our union stands for CUNY. CUNY was free for more than 100 years through two world wars, through a Great Depression. CUNY stayed free, and it should be free again. But the Excelsior Scholarship is a very narrowly focused program that came with a lot of ballyhoo. It is not equivalent to investment in the universities and the education that we can offer students.
It's my understanding that there is no tuition hike in this year's budget. So if colleges and universities aren't going to be getting additional revenue through tuition, is there any extra money in the state operating budget for SUNY and CUNY to make up what will likely be added costs for the upcoming school year?
Good question. And I'm sad to say the answer is no. Freezing tuition without adding the funds that that tuition increase was needed for, that it would have generated, is, in my mind, a cynical move. And that's what happened this year. The tuition increase at CUNY that the governor had authorized and the CUNY board had authorized would have generated about $33 million next year for CUNY. The state final budget froze that tuition at the current rate, but it did not replace the $33 million that was needed to cover the increased cost. Some of the Assembly One House bill did that initially, but it did not survive in the final budget. And I think it's tragic that it didn't, especially in this year with more than $4 billion more in new taxes at last, right, and new revenue for the state. This was a key place to invest, and instead CUNY is left with a hole for that money. There are some other advances in this budget for CUNY, and the TAP gap being one. There's an advance for community colleges. So there are some real gains, and the legislature fought very hard for every bit of them. But to keep the tuition frozen and not supply the money that is needed for that ultimately undermines students. It doesn't help them. It undermines them.
You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're discussing the higher education portion of the state budget. And our guest is Barbara Bowen, president of the union representing faculty and staff at the City University of New York. So are you going to have to make cuts? I mean, will the CUNY and SUNY system have to reduce their spending if there's not going to be the tuition hike and there's not going to be increased state operating money?
No, they have no excuse for reducing their spending. And let me say why. The state funding for community colleges will be held harmless, as they say, at last year's level. And there have been drops in community college enrollment all across the country due to the pandemic. I mean, more noticeable than at four-year colleges. That happened at SUNY and CUNY also. So the per-student funding for the coming year, the amount of funding will be based on 98% at least of last year's funding. So that's an important provision. That provides some protection. There's also a little bit of increase here and there. There's a small increase for the SEEK program, the Opportunity Program, and the closing of the TAP gap will also be helpful. So all of those things are good. But the key thing to bear in mind is that CUNY also received $1.5 billion in federal stimulus funds through the CARES Act and then the December stimulus bill and now the American Rescue Plan. $1.5 billion. Of that money, a considerable amount is earmarked under the law, under the federal law, for direct aid to students. But just in the last two stimulus bills alone, there's $802 million in funding that CUNY can use for institutional reasons. And those reasons include lost revenue. They include keeping people on payroll, which is a key issue for us. And so now that the state budget is clear and it's stabilized, and now that we also know that there's federal stimulus money coming into the New York City budget, which is also involved in CUNY, there is no excuse for the CUNY administration not to use that funding for the purpose that it was needed for. And that is immediately to disperse it so that it can support the university and cover some of the cuts that the university made itself last year.
What sort of investments does this budget make in the capital expenses of our state's higher education system, and how does that investment compare to what you think is the need for upgrading or replacing the infrastructure at these colleges and universities?
The need is huge. I mean, CUNY has a lot of buildings, some of which are over 100 years old. CUNY has dreadful capital problems. We have some beautiful new buildings, but sometimes even in the new buildings, there are problems with maintenance because CUNY's been so underfunded. Chronically, I would say deliberately, systemically underfunded, and in a way that's really difficult to support, to separate from systemic racism. And that extends to the buildings. There are many buildings at CUNY that are literally falling apart, where we have broom handles holding up the ceiling tiles. We have bathrooms that have no running water. We have tiles peeling off the floor. We have rooms that are so cold in the winter, students are sitting with their coats on, that are unbearably hot in the summer. I mean, we have terrible maintenance problems in many CUNY buildings. Not all, I want to stress, but in many. And that atmosphere, that physical plant, communicates to students every day they walk in. It communicates to them, your education doesn't matter. It doesn't matter enough for the state and city to give you a decent building. And I just mean decent. So capital funding is hugely important at CUNY. We wanted the legislature to approve a five-year capital spending plan, which is also what the university administration wanted. They did not do that, but they did put in $100 million more for capital improvements and another small amount for green energy. So that's a start, but the capital issues at CUNY are of longstanding, and they have deep roots and really deep consequences, intellectual consequences, academic consequences, as well as physical ones.
Democratic lawmakers, you know, say a lot of the right things when it comes to higher education funding and accessibility, and they have, you know, all the right bills introduced to make those goals a reality. And it sounds like you give them a lot of credit for fighting in this budget. But considering the shortcomings in the budget, as you've described them, does it feel like higher education wasn't prioritized compared to other spending, or that Democratic lawmakers stopped short of raising enough revenue by only getting an additional $4 billion in new taxes, as opposed to even $10 billion or $5 billion?
I think they went to bat, but not as hard as they might have. And I totally agree with you. The PSC was part of the group supporting the Invest in Our New York agenda, which was a realistic agenda that showed how there could be $50 billion more in taxation in a fair way. So no, this budget is a disappointment. And I think you're right that our union does not criticize many of the priorities that emerge from this budget. Higher education should have been an additional priority. I mean, I really want to resist the idea that there's a zero-sum game and that if you give additional money to K-12, I mean, advocates for K-12 education fought for those equity funds for 20 years, and that should not be pitched against higher education, nor should the excluded workers. We supported the additional funding for excluded workers, but there is more money. The pie could have been expanded. And yes, I think we have to face the fact that the legislative leaders, in the end, did not prioritize CUNY funding. They went as far as saying freeze tuition, but they didn't replace the funding that tuition would have generated. They went as far as, you know, making one step on the tap gap, closing it, but they did not close it thoroughly. And I think they missed a chance, a major chance, to prioritize higher education at this moment. And as you know, the session's not over. There is still an opportunity to pass the New Deal for CUNY, fight for the New Deal for CUNY legislation that sets out requirements and mandates for CUNY for the future.
Well, we've been speaking with Barbara Bowen, president of the Professional Staff Congress, which represents 30,000 faculty and staff at the City University of New York and its research foundation. Barbara, thank you so much for making the time.
Right. Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure. Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.